and welcome to the Libby's podcast, conversations with authors who've been shortlisted for the British Book Awards, lovingly known as the Nibbies. I'm your host and longtime Nibbies fan, Hannah McInnes. These awards celebrate books and everyone who makes them, honouring the entire creative, collaborative journey of a book, from the author's mind to the reader's hand. And that's what we're going to do on this podcast. Chat to some of today's best-loved authors about their books, their writing, what's gone on behind the scenes to get them to where they are, and those lovely moments when they and the books they've created have found their readers.
I'm Jamie Smart, and I'm a comic book author and the creator of Bunny vs. Monkey.
You've been crowned the king of comics. I just wonder how that crown fits with you.
I mean, it's very nice. It's a very nice thing for people to say. I don't quite accept it. I think comics, especially children's comics recently, has had an amazing few years. And there are so many talented authors and creators coming out that I think we're more like a family. We're like a royal family rather than anyone being at the head of it, I would say.
I mean, I want to come back to that royal family later because I know it is so important to you. But tell those readers who haven't yet involved themselves in Bunny vs. Monkey, and particularly the multiverse mix-up, just set the scene.
So Bunny vs. Monkey is a series of books. We're on about book 9 by now, about a bunny and his friends, his cute animal friends who live in the woods. And then a monkey crash lands and tries to take over the woods and teams up with more nefarious characters. And there are like these big inventions and explosions and lots of farting and screaming and shouting and falling off cliffs and things like that. So it's very slapstick humour. But I do like to put in big sci-fi ideas and very strange fantastical sort of notions. And book 7, Multiverse Mix-Up, it's probably one of the best examples of that, where all the characters meet evil versions of themselves from other multiverses, and then they travel through these multiverses. They travel right to the very end of creation itself, and then all the way back. It's a very big, expansive story, but in the middle of it, you just have these very cute characters just kind of arguing and chasing each other around with frying pans. So it's the perfect balance, I think, for a comic book.
And I know it's a book that's very close to your heart. What is it of your passions, your interests, what drives you that you put into this?
I've tried to think about that a lot over the years. And the conclusion I've come to is that every character I come up with is a little part of me. So Bunny is very kind of grumpy and wants to be left alone, whereas Monkey is very naughty. And they're kind of these extreme personalities, all of the different characters in there. And I think each of those is just me trying to express myself. In Bunny vs. Monkey, we have kind of these big action things, but we do also have very quiet, sweet moments. And those are the points where I try and get across, you know, ideas about maybe weightier subjects like grieving or loneliness, or, you know, just it's still in a comical way, but approaching these concepts that perhaps it's easier to do in a more comical setting like Bunny vs. Monkey. So for me, it's a rich playground that I get to explore all these ideas and thoughts that I have.
It's really interesting. Why do you think that this format works so well to explore and introduce those sorts of bigger themes? What is it about the comic book format that enables you to do that?
Comic books, I think, are just the ultimate medium for telling stories, because as an author, you're putting down everything you're imagining on the page. When you're writing a novel or you're writing prose, you're assuming the reader to interpret a lot of it and fill their own mind with, you know, the words you're giving them. But with comic books, you're really showing them everything. You're like storyboarding this idea out, and you're able to plot it and pace it in a very distinct way. And I think that's why a lot of authors and creators turn to comic books, because they're such a fun medium to kind of explore these ideas and express yourself. It's a really immediate, spontaneous way for an author to express themselves.
So in a way, we've discussed it, what it gives you and the parts of your personality that you put into the characters. What is it that you want to give your readers? What do you want them mostly to take away? I know it's a mix of things, but what is it you want them to take away particular from Multiverse Mix-Up and from your comics?
All I ever want is you know, for a reader to laugh at what I've done or to enjoy it. That's kind of the only incentive. If there are kind of bigger ideas, more expansive ideas that might make them start thinking, especially younger readers, then that's wonderful. It might ignite the same sort of curiosity that I got when I was a kid and I was watching Red Dwarf, or I was reading New Scientist, or, you know, all these places where I was learning these big concepts. I would like to try and inspire children in the same way. With comics generally, especially funny comics, if you get a laugh out of someone, then that's, you know, the greatest thing. And you don't see it, obviously, because someone's reading your book somewhere a million miles away and you don't see the response. But you hear from them, and you hear how much, you know, especially from the parents, how comic books might have helped their children start reading where they didn't enjoy books normally. And things like that, just, yeah, they break your heart as an author. They're incredible moments.
Tell me about those. I would have come perhaps to that meeting of your readers, interacting with your readers, the book in readers' hands a bit later. But I want to ask you about that now, seeing as you've mentioned it breaking your heart. Are there any particular moments that stand out? What about with the multiverse mix-up, the sorts of things you hear back from readers, perhaps meeting in real life as we can, thank goodness, now, after a few years of not being able to?
Yeah, I do a handful of kind of workshops during the year and signings and things like that, and that's when I really get to meet and talk to, you know, the kids who read my books. And when I ask them which is your favourite book, they tend to say Multiverse Mix-Up out of all the Bunnyverse Monkey books, which is really nice because it's one of my favourites too. But I get sent a lot of drawings and artwork from the readers, and often they are using Multiverse Mix-Up characters, so they're drawing the evil versions of previously good characters. And, you know, it's not just evil versions. In Multiverse Mix-Up, there's larva versions, and there's baby versions, and then elderly versions. There's all these different versions of the characters, and I think the feedback I've got from children is that they find that quite a nice introduction to taking a character and then just doing something else with it, that you don't have to rigidly stick to one character. So yeah, it's very rewarding. It's wonderful to hear how much they're enjoying it.
What I love is that you don't patronize or simplify or sort of belittle your readers of whatever age they might be. And we're assuming, you know, adults will of course come to this and read it with their children, but it is ultimately a children's book. I just wonder why that's important to you. You don't, as I say, patronize them. In fact, you seem to assume quite an understanding and a knowledge of language, no matter what their age. Is that very important to you?
That's hugely, hugely important to me. You see a lot of, not so much in comics, but in like children's TV and things like that, where you can see it's been a delegation of executives have come together and they've decided to hit certain demographics and tick boxes, and they're using very safe phrases, and it's all really sanitized and it's all really carefully programmed. I personally think the best work for children is the work where the creator has just done what amuses them and what interests them. And I think kids really respond to that. For me personally, I think you can absolutely put long words into the text. You can have the characters saying quite adult phrases, like very long words, very scientific words. And if a child reads it and doesn't understand it and doesn't care, just skips on to the next bit. If they want to know what that word is, they'll ask and they'll find out. It doesn't impact the reading at all. If anything, it enriches it. So I think you should always, as a creator, assume that children are working on exactly the same level that you are. And if they're not, then they'll tell you. But if they will happily come along for the ride with you.
I mean, talking about the ride and the level you're working on, how does that actually function and work for you? Do you sit down like a normal 9-to-5 and wait for the ideas to flow? Or do you have to be in a certain scenario for those ideas to come to you, and then you rush back to your wonderful office that we can see you in now and get them down? How does it work as a process?
I'm slowing down a bit as I'm getting older, but certainly during my 20s and 30s I was very rigidly get up at 6, work all the way through till 6, so you get a full 12 hours. I'd do that 6 days a week, 7 days if I could. Like, I really worked way too hard. In the last 5 or 6 years, I've slowed down and I'm taking a few more days off, and I'm learning the benefits of just going for a walk and freeing your mind a bit and allowing the ideas to work themselves out, as much as you trying to, you know, work out the knots and kinks of a story. It's often far more helpful just to switch off and do something completely different and let the story try and work itself out in the back of your head. So yeah, it's a process. It's a very fluid process. Sometimes the ideas are all piling in at once, and then sometimes you're getting nothing and you have to go and switch off, distract yourself, and just hope that something comes in. But it helps also to have lots of different projects. So apart from Bunny vs. Monkey, I work on different comics and different books. And it really, really helps to kind of jump from one to the other, because then you start missing the ones you're not working on, and your brain gets excited with ideas that you can put into that when you get back to it. So I find variety really helps as well, definitely.
Yeah. I have to ask what it is you love so much about animals biffing each other with frying pans.
I don't know. I really... I mean, animals, I find animals easier or more easier and more fun to draw than human beings. I find human beings a bit annoying to draw. So I stuck with very cute animals because they're very basic shapes. They're very easy to draw. And I tell kids this a lot, you know, these are very easy drawings. This isn't complicated. This isn't rocket science. But I just, for me, it's the most immediate sort of humor. And I think with animals, you can maybe get away with a bit more than you could with humans because it's slightly detached from reality a little bit.
And what we're looking at as a huge part of the British Book Awards is not just the writing that we've talked about and being in that room or the idea formulation and the process on your own, but the journey that you go on with a team in terms of publishing the book. And so I just wonder what for you might have been a particularly memorable or magical moment in that publishing journey for Multiverse Mix-Up?
I think I should explain where Bunny vs. Monkey came from, because I've been drawing it for the last 10 years for The Phoenix, which is published by David Fickling Books, which is a weekly comic, which in itself is quite a revolutionary idea these days. Because apart from the Beano and one or two kind of outliers, that there's not really been any weekly comics. So I've drawn Bunny vs. Monkey pretty much every week for The Phoenix for the last 10 years or so, and that's what's been collected into these books. So Multiverse Mix-Up is material that we did maybe 1 or 2 years ago, compiled into a book. And the whole process all the way through has just been the most supportive process I've ever been through. They leave me to it, basically. And I think if you trust your artists and your creators to do what amuses them and what makes them funny, then you get your best work out of them. And they understand that. They're there to help, absolutely. If the story's not working, or, you know, we can absolutely have these creative discussions. But by and large, they're very happy to just go, no, just send it in when you're done, which is so freeing. And it makes me want to step up as a creator. It makes me want to do my best possible work because I know I'm really, you know, representing myself and how I'm thinking. So there's no particular moment, but the whole 10 years or so that I've been with DFB and creating not just Bunny vs. Monkey, but I do a few other books with them as well, where I do get teamed up with editors, and they do what good editors do, which is ask you the questions rather than tell you what you should be doing. I genuinely could not ask for a better publisher, and I'm so chuffed that we're still working together 10 years later.
Well, that's lovely to hear. And you said it was sort of revolutionary and unique working on a weekly comic book. And I just wonder, though, you're obviously leading the charge. You mentioned your royal family of colleagues, I suppose, and people doing the same thing. Do you think there is a resurgence that we're seeing in the comic book industry at the moment?
Yeah, absolutely. The last year or two, there's just been such a push for comic books, and it's been incredible. It's been so wonderful to see. And what I really like about it is that publishers have been taking chances on new artists and sticking with them and giving them 2 or 3 books to see how it rides out. It's felt like a really creative, almost an independent space of children's books where we've been allowed to explore and come up and find what comics are working. slightly separate from, you know, other children's books or picture books or things like that. Comics traditionally are a bit more anarchic, and I think the space we've kind of built up around ourselves reflects that, because publishers have been, you know, trying different titles and seeing what would stick, and a lot of them are sticking, and kids are really, really responsive to them. Kids love comic books, they just need to be shown them. So it's wonderful. It's an incredible thing to see, because when I grew up, you could go into a newsagent and you could buy 5 or 6 different comic titles, probably more, 10, 15 different comic titles in the 80s. It's a long, long time ago. And then in the 90s and the early 2000s, we, as a culture, we forgot children's comics in this country. We really neglected them. And then the titles kind of faded away off the newsstands. And just generally, I would hear so often from parents, oh, you know, my kids don't read comics and things like that. And I was thinking, but you have to be showing them the comics. They have to know they exist. And it's taken this long, and the perseverance of titles like The Phoenix and The Beano and people like David Fickling, who always really stuck to comics and was insistent that kids would like comics. They're all being proved right now, because comics have just skyrocketed. And that's not because of clever marketing. That's not because of anything other than kids just really love comics, and now we're filling that space to give them the comics.
I mean, I should say, talking about clever marketing, it's not just because of that, but I am really interested to hear your reflections on some of the things that you did with this book. I mean, tell us about the Waterstones Piccadilly Fun Zone.
Oh, that was amazing. So yeah, the upstairs of, so the Waterstones Piccadilly store is like, is it their flagship store? It's their massive. So the upstairs is the children's section. And it's always beautifully decorated anyway, but they turned it into kind of this Bunny versus Monkey zone around the release of Multiverse Mix-Up, where you had it was kind of like an exhibition space where you had all these stickers and things you could draw on, and you could put your faces through holes in large cutouts of the characters. And there was, you know, lots of freebies, and it, there were weird textures, like furry textures on the wall. I didn't like that bit, but everything else was incredible. And I just, you see the photos from, and even the videos on Instagram, you know, people say, people post up Instagram stories of their kids going up to London to see the Bunny vs. Monkey exhibition. And we did a massive, massive signing in the middle of it as well. And just watching those, and you see how much kids are enjoying interacting with their favorite comics, and it's amazing. And the signing itself took 4 hours. I can't remember how many people were there. I think like 200 or something, but the queue was snaked all the way around the children's and then all the way outside as well. That was, on a personal level, that was both incredible and very, very tiring. My brain was just mush by the end of it. But the whole event together was, yeah, it's, Waterstones have been amazing. They've been so supportive for all of it.
Can I ask you lastly how it feels or what it means to you to be shortlisted for this Nibby?
It is incredible. It's an honour. What I really like about this category is that, you know, the category is Best Children's Illustrated Book. And of the 6 shortlisted, 3 of us are comics, which is, I think, testament to how far comics have come just in the last year or two. I think that's incredible. So to be one of those is it's an honour. I mean, there's nothing else you can say. Also, the dinner at the ceremony is fantastic. I've had it before and it's delicious. So I'm looking forward to that as well. So even if I don't win, you know, I'm going to have a good evening.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a unique and brilliant evening, isn't it? And I will see you there. Thank you very, very much.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, make sure to subscribe to the series to hear more conversations with Nibby's authors. And we'd love it if you'd rate it and leave us a review. Do visit thebookseller.com/British-book-awards to find out more about the industry's biggest celebration of books and all who make them. This podcast was produced by Heavy Entertainment.